Joseph's Workshop with Father Matthew Spencer, Coast to Coast on Relevant Radio.
The programming you hear throughout the day on the Relevant Radio Network is sponsored in part by John Paul the Great Catholic University. More info at jpcatholic.edu. We thank them for their support of Relevant Radio. And speaking of support, I have to give you a big shout out for supporting us in our winter pledge drive. We just raced through that goal over the weekend and surpassed it by 6%. Last I saw, $2.4 million we raised to keep Relevant Radio on the air for the next few months, and that's just all due to your generosity. I just want to say a special word of thanks to you. I'm so grateful that the Lord continues to help us, support us, to enable us to share the message of His Son Jesus Christ with the world. And what a massive audience we can reach on a very, very modest budget here at Relevant Radio. So thank you so much. In case you still want to support us, if you didn't get a chance to pledge last week, it's not too late. You can call 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. Or find us on relevantradio.com and at the Relevant Radio app. I tweeted something out right before the show started. I should have showed this to Cecilia directly, but she'll see it soon enough here. It's a picture of a card that my paternal grandmother showed me. My grandmother met my grandfather, I believe, in the second grade. And they fell in love sometime along that. I mean, I don't know when, you know, kind of a crush turns into affection, and affection turns into love, and I don't know. But by the sixth grade, they were, I'm trying to bring this up for you here. My phone's not cooperating. I'm trying to talk and open this up for you here. Here we go. So my grandfather, you need to know, played, as my grandmother says, the bass fiddle, which I think is a cello, right? I mean, yeah, I think. Anyway, I'm not positive about that. Maybe it's a different style of playing it. So they were in the sixth grade. My grandpa had gone away for a short time and sent my grandmother via snail mail a Valentine's Day card that says, "I'd like to beau you around," B-E-A-U, which of course is a word for a male admirer, right? But also it's a picture of or a drawing of a boy playing a bass fiddle there. So beau, get it. What's amazing, my grandmother turns 95 tomorrow. My grandfather passed away in 2002. And they are, to me, one of the most amazing examples of married love that I know. I mean, I'm so grateful to God that He put these two individuals in my life. You know, my grandfather in the merciful hands of God, and my grandmother still being charged to give good witness to the world today. They have, no joke, 88 descendants among their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. Cecilia's looking at me with this look on her face like, wait, what? That many? Yeah, it's a big family. Our family reunions are off the hook. And this is, to me, such a strong contrast, the fidelity that my grandmother and grandfather showed, the fidelity that they shared is such a strong contrast to the world in which we live. This is hard for me to talk about. Like, I get depressed when I see statistics to the contrary of the fidelity that my grandparents showed. There was a story recently published in the Washington Post about two sisters who bought DNA kits. And, well, you know where this is going, right? They buy DNA kits and they find out, in fact, they're not as closely related as they should be because they have a different father. And they discover that they're actually, one of them is from an adulterous relationship. And I don't have the statistics in front of me of how many, you know, children are the result of infidelity, but it's too high. Whatever the number is, it's too high. You know, the stats on infidelity in the world are all over the place. I mean, I saw one study in 1991. It was Sheer Height is the researcher's name, who claims that 90% of married women have cheated on their partners. A follow-up study in 1993 said that 72% of married men have cheated. But then you look later to a University of Chicago study that says that 25% of married men have had at least one affair. You know the different websites that facilitate infidelity these days, and you know the different websites that look at this and try and promote infidelity. I guess to me, the reason I'm bringing this up is that the story, as shown in the Washington Post, with DNA kits now becoming, you know, very common and popular at home. I presume they're largely accurate. I guess I don't know what the accuracy of those tests are, but more and more stories like this are going to pop up of people discovering, inappropriate relationships, infidelity, things like that. That's really hard for me to reflect on. It makes me depressed when I think about how many people, right? How many people are not faithful in their marriages. And here's the thing. I guess all of this data is just the result of self-reporting. So that's why it's really hard to know exactly how all of this works. But it is strange how we are living in a time where more people are becoming okay with unfaithful relationships, or maybe open relationships, to not value God's plan for monogamy, to go against God's plan for marriage. And now you know why we're bringing this up, because we're in the middle of National Marriage Week. We're in the middle of this week that the bishops have given us to reflect on marriage and God's plan for marriage, to reflect on God's plan for married love and faithfulness and fidelity. I think, in my theological training and perspective, one of the most amazing aspects of marriage is that it is a direct reflection of God's fidelity to his people. You know, this is why marriage is meant for life, because the covenant that God makes with his people is meant for life, is made meant for all time, for that matter. And he loves you with an everlasting love, and he will never be unfaithful to that love. He will never go back on his word towards you. So it's an awesome, incredible responsibility that husband and wife have to image that same fidelity and love to the world. And I know many people are hearing me talk about, fidelity and talk about how it's too bad that we don't have more faithful relationships, more monogamous relationships. I know people are listening going, but Father, you don't understand how difficult it is. You don't realize how hard it is. And people change. And what happens when somebody is unfaithful with you? And you're right. I don't know from firsthand experience how that feels. But I do know how difficult it is to be faithful to the Lord, and yet how important it is, and how important that witness to fidelity, to monogamy, to God's plan for marriage and family is. See, if we're trying to live God's plan, and if we're trying to image God's covenantal love to the world, we need his help. We need his grace. I am quite sure that the reason that marriage is getting harder and harder to live out faithfully, the reason that we're seeing more and more infidelity be accepted and acceptable in our society and in our times, is because God is missing from marriages. God is not involved in that relationship. And sometimes it happens because people have no religious background at all, but sometimes it happens because people neglect bringing God into their marriages. Maybe you were married in the church, and then you stopped going to Mass, stopped praying with your spouse, and now you can't even talk about God because it's too uncomfortable with each other, because it seems too foreign. Maybe we let God take a back seat in our lives, and it's hard to allow him then to take over and drive, to allow him to be in control. I guess the reason I bring this up is so that we have faithful relationships, we need to turn to God. And just as it's impossible for me to be a faithful priest without God's grace, it could never happen by my own strength. Just plain and simple, it would be completely impossible for me to be faithful to that the call that God gives me without his grace. So it's all him when you and I experience great success in our life. So the same is true when it comes to marriage. It's really, really impossible without God's grace working in our life. And it's really hard to be faithful with God's grace, and impossible on our own. So if you're a husband, if you're a wife, if you're struggling to be faithful, if you're struggling to image that covenantal love to your spouse, to your children, to the world, my overarching recommendation is to turn back to the Lord. Discover again how your love can be strengthened by the Lord, how your love can be rooted in his grace. And when you're faithful to the Lord and always seeking the Lord out in your relationship, your marriage will become stronger. Your commitment will become better. Your level of forgiveness in the relationship will increase, and you will be holier because of it, and your relationship will be all the better for it. So turn back to the Lord. Maybe you're already very close to the Lord, and this is just a reminder to you. I hope that's the case. But I'm going to be praying for you. I'll be praying for your marriage. I realize how difficult and how hard it is. Don't give up, right? Don't give up. God strengthens those who seek him out, and God desires your fidelity in your marriage. I'm Father Matthew. I'll be right back.